If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello and welcome back to Radioactive Ramblings. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Chase. And today we're going to be covering the first three episodes of Invincible's fourth season on Amazon Prime TV.
Yeah. And I just want to let you all know how to get in contact with us. The first is going to be our email, radioactive@thelorehounds.com. We have a channel set up for Radioactive Ramblings in the Lorehounds Discord server. There's also the contact form, or you could leave us a voicemail at thelorehounds.com. And consider giving us a follow on Blue Sky at Radioactive141. We'd also appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to us. It helps other people find us.
Yeah, so definitely jump in on that conversation. Especially the Discord is a great place to get involved. There's a dedicated chat for Invincible. There's going to be dedicated chats for the upcoming season of The Boys, which we are going to be covering, which, speaking of, we have some plans, which involve doing Invincible and The Boys every other week. So as soon as those two are happening at the same time, it'll be covering two episodes at a time, alternating weeks. So we've got a lot of content on the way, so make sure you stay tuned. Without further ado, how are you doing, Chase? Welcome back.
Dude, I'm good. I guess things are good and bad, but, you know, mostly good, mostly good. I'm happy to be back. I hope the listeners missed me, you know?
You know, we got over 3,000 emails asking what your problem is and why you're not here.
3,000? So, let's fucking 3,000.
It was insane. It's the most emails we've ever gotten about anything.
Yep.
By at least a dozen.
Yeah, by a margin of one.
Exactly. Richard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I've been playing loads and loads of Cyberpunk, and that's it. How about you?
I've been playing some City Skylines too, because it was on sale. So I've been catching up on that a little bit, and also rereading the first Mistborn novel, which I think we can talk about this at this point, that Richard...
Yes, I saw me. John put something in one of the chats, so like,
yeah,
we might as well.
In June, stay tuned, because that is when a brand new podcast with me, Richard, and John from the Lorehounds is going to be dropping, covering the Cosmere books. So that's another little bit of content to look forward to. It'll be a separate feed and everything. So as we get closer to that, you'll hear a lot more about that on our feed and on the Lorehound's main feed. And then you'll be able to find us over on our new Cosmere show.
We are excited to start that. We've already, you know, we've already done some stuff behind the scenes, but we just want to kind of get ahead of it before we start releasing stuff for it.
Yeah, we'll have a pretty good like back catalog to release every week, which is a good thing because these books are massive. But we should get into the first three episodes of Invincible because these were some pretty incredible reintroductions back into the series. I thought they were pretty good. How did you guys feel overall, vibe check?
I mean, I loved it. You know, I think that these three episodes had a really strong start for the season. And I have something I want to talk about later after we go over the stuff a little bit more. I sent you a TikTok about it earlier today, Aaron.
Okay, so now I do know what you're going to bring up now, so I'm excited. And I agree with that point. So I guess, Richard, how are you feeling? And then we'll go straight into the spoiler stuff.
I felt pretty good. I mean, before we do get into anything story-based, I do want to talk about at the start of the season, which they've been doing the last couple seasons, I like getting the montage with, you know, they always flex a banger on us. I don't remember what the song was, so maybe I shouldn't say banger, but it was really fitting, probably.
Yeah, I think the music has always been a really strong part of this. All right, and so I think that is going to be our official spoiler warning for the first three episodes of season four. Anything from the past three seasons is fair game as well, of course. I would not expect anyone to be listening in or watching the fourth season without watching the past three, so should not be a problem. I would also like to say that we're going to give spoilers for whenever we talk about comic stuff. It won't be super often because Chase is the only one of us who has actually read the comics, but
Richard knows a little bit. I think Richard knows like some more overarching stuff, not like minute details.
Yeah, but I know overarching. And then there's one thing in this first three episodes that I'm gonna mention, but we'll get to that.
But for most of the comic spoilers that I'm gonna give, they're going to be like concurrent like with the episode I'm talking about. Like if I do give a comic spoiler that is like about something that happens in the future of the series, I will give ample warning, and I'll try and keep it from like major like spoiler stuff, like more minor stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, and that brings us into the first story arc that I think we should talk about, which is our main character Invincible. Mark is in a pretty dark place in these three episodes, and we kind of left him off that way last season. He's got a lot of struggles with murder. Not even murder. I would say he struggles with killing a lot in this season. But Chase, what did you think about Mark's turn for the worse?
To everyone listening at home, I do want to say that we did try and film the podcast earlier, but my internet was like really crappy, so we like had to we're trying again today. So now that I that brings context to what I'm about to say, now that I've had time to like really rethink about what we were talking about last time, I kind of like think that Mark and Eve, we'll get to Eve later, but have like the weakest writing for these three episodes. And I think because like, I don't know, at first I was like, I tried to chalk it up all to just like Mark PTSD, like, oh, all the people that I could have saved if I just like was more decisive in my actions. And like, there is definitely an element to that. And you definitely have to be like, if you were in his shoes, you probably feel like a certain similar way. But at the same time, I do think that, like, with Dinosaurus, he definitely took it a little too, like, not even a little, a lot too far. Like, he already had dude apprehended, and it's not like he took him out pretty handily. I don't think there was a danger that he was gonna, like, break out and cause, like, a mass killing again or whatever, you know? It did, or at least that's not how it's portrayed in the show, in my opinion.
I just want to, before we continue, like, but once the dude transformed, all he should have had to say was like, I'm not in control when I transform. And Mark should have, like, season one, Mark would have let go of him. No problem.
Well, it's not even like let go. Like, it's fine if he wants to keep him in the chokehold, but he doesn't have to, like, because, like, it is true. He could just transform into a dangerous dinosaur that could, like, one tap the average person.
True.
But, like, trying to go farther than that is just, like, what are we doing? Like, he's essentially incapacitated at this point.
Yeah, Marky Mark, what are we doing, boy?
And yeah. I do agree with Mark's decision with Russ. I know that, like, it's portrayed in a way that it's, like, we really don't know if the shield would have held or not. But it's, like, exactly. If you didn't know if the shield was going to hold or not, and, like, if that breaks, like, humans are, like, really actually, like, at threat of them being wiped out, I think he made the right decision, you know?
Yeah, and who's to say, even if the shield did hold up, one of the heroes that was there could have gotten infected by a sequid. There's, like, four other possibilities if the shield held up that would still lead to humanity going bye-bye.
I was just happy to see Mark finally end the sequids. If I have to see this C plot line continued into another season of Invincible, I'm going to scream.
No, the sequids definitely are a weak point for the show, I can't lie. Or not the show, just the series in general. But to be fair, like, with all long-standing series, there do have to be C-plot lines. It is, like, the way that they're adapting it, though, with, like, the eight-episode seasons, it does feel like they could just cut a lot of the C-plot lines and just stay with the main story and give us more of that instead of dedicating whole episodes to shit that no one gives a fuck about.
Especially because there's some C plots that are so interesting, like the stuff happening with Titan and Mr. Liu and Robot Face. God, I can't remember his actual name at the moment. Machine Head.
Well, like, even like the small insights into, like, Nolan's, like, rediscovering the stuff that is deadly or, like, can harm Viltrumites. Even when I was reading the comics, I was like, wow, like, I love it. Like, this stuff is cool. Aside from progressing Nolan's character arc and that, like, just the, like, seeing other planets and other aliens is so cool, rather than just like, oh, let's go back to the Sequids who have no, like, character whatsoever, no story whatsoever.
Yeah, and also, it makes the Viltrumite Empire kind of more like, it fleshes it out more because they know that they're not immortal. They're not invincible, whatever. Immortal mentioned. He's so peak. But
shut up.
Yeah, I had to. You know, it adds to the thing that, like, they're not just strong. They're also pretty tactical. They know that they have to deal with these threats in horrible ways, obviously. I mean, freezing the Ragnar's entire planet and the other two planets in the system was obviously messed up. Space Racer was just under a pile of rocks for 100 years, which is horrible. Like, there's all sorts, it just adds a more, like, threatening side to them, I guess, on top of the universal domination thing.
Yeah, and speaking of that whole plot line with Space Racer, I just think it was so interesting how it threw him off guard that Nolan was actually apologizing. Like, this guy has fought the Viltrumites probably for more of his life than not. And you have this committer of genocides, destroyer of worlds, coming up to you and saying, my bad, I didn't mean it. It was another me. It was me at another time. And that just throws him off so much with, that's exactly the reaction that I would have and most people would have is, you're sorry? Like, I guess that's,
well, you gotta,
it's better
think too,
than,
like,
not.
Nolan is basically the second defector ever of his race.
Yeah.
Like, of quite, like, billions upon billions of Viltrumites. He's the second one to ever defect from the Viltrumite, like, war path.
Yeah, and he's still got one foot in the cause.
Yeah,
he still
exactly.
is kind of grappling with how he's supposed to do all of this. And I think that the main thing that's tripping him up now is the fact that he grew up with all of this propaganda about the betrayer. And so I think that he's trying to deprogram himself, and he's making slower progress than I think the universe needs from him.
Yeah, but sometimes a hypocrite is just a man in the process of changing or something, right?
Or something.
This is true. I also really enjoyed that Donald defended Invincible's actions during the whole Sequid invasion. I think that he understood what was happening. I think Cecil understands it too, but he does have to be really cautious of Mark.
Because Donald is just always standing on business, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah, he is our goat. Everyone.
Debbie is our goat. Donald is our goat.
They're both goats. I think we just have a rule about people whose name starts with a D at this point.
What? I'm trying to think of a bad Invincible. Yeah.
And there's none. And there's none because Donald, Debbie, other characters are scared to have a name starting with D.
Bro, enough. Enough, bro.
Let's talk a little bit about Adam Eve.
Richard talking is like a filler arc, bro. I swear.
Fuck you. Before we go to Adam Eve, though. So Cecil's reaction to him killing Russ, we should maybe touch on that.
Yeah, what did you think about that? That was a pretty big moment in these three episodes.
Yeah, I really want Cecil and Mark to figure their shit out at some point soon. And Mark is being more open to like taking orders from Cecil and such here and there. But I really like, they gotta lock in if they want to destroy the biggest, well, I guess not biggest anymore, but big evil space empire.
I don't think either of them grasps at this moment what is to come. Like, they don't understand that the Viltrumites are like really coming to do them in, you know, or like trying to, you, like, because yeah. Cecil is like, oh shit, there's more of these guys, right? He doesn't know like what's going on besides like that. Mark doesn't either, really. Like, I think at this point, Mark is like he had that fight, right, with his dad and the other Viltrumites on, I forget Thraxa. The name of the planet. Yeah, Thraxa. And like, he's like, oh, this is cooked. He doesn't even know the half of it, you know, like he's like, I just got to get stronger so I can like fight off conquest again or whatever.
Yeah, like, which I have a few things about that, too. Conquest.
Well, like, he doesn't know about, but what I mean is, like, he's, like, he, that's probably his bar right now is, like, Conquest is, like, the strongest being that he's witnessed at this point.
Yeah, I was more talking about, though, I hope this season, like, I'm sure we'll see it, that Mark finds out Conquest is alive, and then he and Cecil make this their final argument so that they can finally realize that they need to band together if they're going to take on the rest of the Viltrumite Empire.
Bro, you think Cecil is telling Mark Conquest is alive?
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's gotta happen.
Mark is gonna find out. Cecil is not gonna give that information freely.
I thought they were gonna change that part of the show because in the comics, Cecil is like way more incompetent than he is in the show.
Really? I'm glad he's not in the show.
In the show, he's like, with the resources he has, you know, and like the power level of the people in his tool belt he has, like, I think he does quite a good job, not gonna lie. But in the comics, he'd just be like blundering.
I like that change. I think that it's really satisfying to see people be good at their job in TV and movies sometimes. Not everyone. Some people need to be a little bit bad at their job for the story, but there's just something about seeing someone like Cecil be so organized that makes it so much more enjoyable. I would not care about Cecil whatsoever if he was bad at what he does.
Yeah. Also, like, we all have that one coworker that just sucks. So it's nice to see see like that not happen, I guess.
Cecil's coworker that sucks is D.A. Sinclair.
Shit, that's the bad guy. That's the bad guy. The dean.
That guy
name.
Comes to work smelling like straight booty, bro. I bet.
So, let's talk a little bit about Adam Eve. I want to start off with this family dinner. Richard, would you have taken an extra helping of green beans?
Oh my God, dude! Betsy's green beans were looking so good. I keep seeing the, you know, it's like the boys memes when that was coming out with Party in the USA playing, and it's Betsy's Green Beans now instead of Butcher's shirt and Mother's Milk shirt.
I feel really bad for Betsy. I think that she says as much in the episode, but she was like, someday you're going to settle for someone that you don't like that much and it'll all be okay. And that's what your life should be. And I just feel bad for her.
Yeah. What a horrible outlook on life.
Yeah.
Like, fill your life with joy and whimsy, perhaps.
I mean, that's kind of probably what your mental state is like after being married to that piece of shit for that
long. Oh my God. I know. He's horrible. Let's talk about Mr. Wilkins. I forgot their last name for a minute.
Mr. Adam Eve.
Don't call him that. Don't call him that, bro.
So his talk with Mark was pretty bad. You know, obviously every scene with him is really bad. But the scene in the comics is so much worse. I don't know too much, but like, it's horrifying. Chase, what you got?
Yeah, in the comics, he just says some actually deplorable crap. Like, he's talking about how, like, you can tell if a woman is a virgin or not, and, like, how they're less desirable if they're not a virgin. It's just disgusting. It's really awful. I'm actually very glad they didn't include it. I don't think it really, like, his character is already, like, unlikable in every way that it's like it's not really adding anything to the story. It's just like, oh, he's even more of a asshole.
Like, yeah, it just becomes like, how much can we exaggerate how horrible this guy is and how much he should be put down? Like,
yeah, I mean,
it gets to a point.
At the same time though, I it's like kind of weird though, because like they changed his dialogue to be like something that's like kind of like, wait, low-key facts, or not like, yeah, the whole thing, you know, but like, she's my daughter and like I care about her, so like when she's in danger I'm worried, and she's in danger more often now that she's like involved with you. That part of the message is true. And yeah, but it's definitely a right message, wrong messenger, you know?
Because yeah, like as a parent,
like, do you really care about your kid? Do you really care though? Because like all your other actions demonstrate you don't give a flying fuck. So I mean,
yeah, I wonder if maybe they're gonna change his, because I don't know anything about like what happens with his character further. This is the last panel chronologically I've seen of him, but I wonder if maybe they're gonna try and make him better, like come out better later on,
I guess, because like now that they've removed that dialogue, I guess like it is possible for him to have redemption.
Yeah.
But in the comics after that, it's like, bro, it's curtains for you saying that about your daughter, bro.
The dad, he's getting the rush treatment. Just donut that guy.
I always thought it was weird though in the comics too, because like Mark is just letting that shit fly when he's saying, yeah, that shit, and it's just like, bro, that's your girlfriend. Like, I get that's her dad, but like, you're also adult. Like, you and Eve are adults living set, like, she's not dependent. You can stand, yeah, up for her.
And Mark, why you gotta go all trigger happy on some random astronaut, and you can't kill this dude for being like, okay, a piece, well, of shit?
Okay, that's a little, I don't know.
No, it's horrible. I know.
I don't know if we need a red mist him, bro, but like
okay, I do want to talk about Mark and his whole thing. I meant to bring this up earlier, but I don't quite know what the show is trying to say about him with this, because every time he has one of his dark moments where he almost kills someone, this guy is essentially like crying about it.
He did have like the,
which is understandable. He doesn't want to kill innocent people.
Killing Rush.
That he should feel negatively. No, yeah, but the thing that doesn't quite make sense is that he's making these decisions to almost kill people in the heat of the moment and like being afraid about it or upset about it. And part of me wonders, are they trying to do something with like, it's his Viltrumite DNA that's pushing him towards this and he's trying to fight against his nature? Or is he just in a dark place and trying to fight against that?
Do you want me to clarify it from
comics? You don't have to give me the comics answer, but I just think that that's like an interesting thing.
Yeah, something, an interesting talking point for sure.
Okay, I'm gonna just say something really quick, and it's not like a spoiler. It's just like, I'm just gonna say something really quick. The aggression is not built into Viltrumite DNA. Yeah, it's just a writing choice.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay. All right, now that we're done with my Mark side tangent, Eve is losing her powers. That's a pretty big deal. She's got this whole atomic sludge thing going on. She tries to get help from Rudy before he gets plucked into another dimension. First of all, fuck Rudy. Second of all,
dude, his name's Rex. He stole his homeboy's name. You gotta put some respect on that.
There's nothing that could make me respect Rudy or Rex or whatever whatever Rudy's robot just, is calling
he's
himself.
He's just always on some straight weirdo shit, bro.
Like, I feel like he's gonna be on some even worse weirdo shit when they come back. He's gonna be older.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be weirdo shit. That would be like, oh, that's actually appropriate.
No.
You're an adult in your adult body now, instead of like being an adult and being like, what if I put myself in a kid body, bro?
No. That part of it, him being like an adult, I'm assuming, is going to be great. I'm saying he's going to be on some weird shit regardless, though. It's what he does.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's always on some weird shit.
Yeah, it really healed something inside of me to see Cecil shut down his attempt to rule the Guardians, like, in a half a second.
Yeah. I like, Britt is his name, right?
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He doesn't really have anything going for him outside of being on the Guardians. Like, he's not a real character. He's just kind of there to be a prop. But yeah. I think he's a cool guy. Jonathan Banks is, of course, a badass.
I just want him to call someone Walter. You know, that's it. That's what I want from him.
It's funny. This is like the first thing I've seen him in or heard him in outside of Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul.
Really? I feel like he's been in stuff. He's in movies.
You can't think of it, can you?
He's in movies and shows. It's just like, I feel like he's one of those characters who's like usually kind of more of a side character.
I think Britt is cool and all, but I don't like the like whole like military, like you do what you're told and you don't, you know, like there's no room for improvisation. Like, what are we talking about? Yeah. Dude,
just following orders has never been a good mindset.
Yeah, exactly.
Historically,
I will give him a little bit of credit, because during the Flaxen invasion, which Flaxa, Thraxa, so many axes, but during the whole like Flaxen invasion, Britt did go and deviate from Cecil's orders to do what he thought was the right thing. So I got to give him a little bit of credit there. He's not a complete like,
nah, that's a whole
robot.
Rules for thee, not for me mentality, though. Like, what kind of bullshit is that? Like, bro's chewing Rudy out for legit like eliminating the threat and not getting himself cooked. And then, not to be a Rudy sympathizer, but then, like, the next mission, he's like, nah, fuck listening to my superiors, bro. Like, what kind of behavior is that?
He's got good situational awareness sometimes. Or you could take it as he's taking a page out of Rudy's book after Rudy did that and it worked.
It's a great point.
Okay, see, someone agrees with me, thank God.
I do want to go back to the Eve losing her powers thing, because
it
seems like they're implying that her being pregnant is like probably the cause behind it. I don't know why else they would have.
Why do you think she's pregnant?
At the same time. She has a positive pregnancy test at the end of episode 3.
Yeah.
Wait, really? I didn't see that.
It was like the post.
I thought they didn't show it yet. I didn't want to spoil anything.
No. They showed it at the very end.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, so she's pregnant. Her powers aren't working. Those two things seem like they're probably connected. I don't know. It could be a red herring, but that's the theory I'm sticking to.
Yeah, I'm with Aaron on this one. I don't think there's no other reason other than like maybe her mental state being a little weird with what Mark's going through and her parents, I guess. But she's been dealing with that, so it's kind of like
we sorry, this is a little bit of a tangent, not really directly connected. I think we talked about this a little bit last season when we were like, why doesn't Eve use her powers more creatively? And because it was like the writer was like, oh yeah, I made her powers too good and I'm not creative enough to like incorporate them properly into this story. And like, I always kind of just thought of like this moment as like a cop out for him to like not have to do her powers.
He gets a little break, a little vacation from Eve.
Because it's like low-key, if I was a writer, it'd be so hard to like model a villain that just doesn't lose to the person who can create like any particle at will, you know, like could do anything basically.
I would rather just retcon it and be like, oh, she can't create anything at will. She has to,
well, like he already did like out of nowhere in the series be like, oh yeah, she has that mental block that makes it so she can't do anything at will.
The mental block. Yeah. That's that is a big cop out right
there. Right? Like, come on, dude.
Even if it was just like there was a device implanted into her that no one could pick up or something until like later in the series, that would be fine. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been better, at least in my opinion, than, oh, wait, nah, my mental block is making it so I can't do this.
Well, even if she doesn't know how to make a second Earth with her powers, she does know how to make some money off of Invincible Inc., which seems to be doing pretty well.
I also thought of this as like a weird point in the series, because it was like, what do you mean you're donating it all? Don't you have your own place? How are you paying for that?
Yeah, I thought the whole point of them having Invincible Inc. was to make money for an apartment or a house.
And it's like, doing good deeds for money is, at least in my opinion, not bad. Like, people do bad things for money all the time, bro. Like, going and like stopping world-threatening things and then being paid for it is not ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they make good money off of it. So they can still donate.
Yeah, exactly. They can donate like 90% of the proceeds or whatever, and it would still be like, oh wow, this is very charitable. But I don't know. I
do have to say, I think everyone who is a customer of Invincible Inc. is the biggest chump in the world, because Invincible would show up whether you're paying him or not. Like, this guy, he does not care. If he hears there's something going down, he's running after you anyways. So if that little monthly fee is not doing a whole lot.
The whole thing was like, you get priority on where he goes.
It's guaranteed that you're going to have someone.
Without Invincible Inc., Invincible's showing up after like half the office building is like collapsed and like people are like hundreds are dead, right? But like with Invincible Inc., he's showing up after like one floor of the building is killed.
Yeah, and he probably tries to keep the collateral to a minimum, which he normally does already, but I don't know, maybe he's slightly more motivated.
That's a great point. I think with that, let's take a quick break and then we will talk a little bit more about the Viltrumite War and the Guardians and all of that stuff. We will be right back. All right, and we are back and we are going to jump right into the Viltrumite War with the Coalition of Planets. Jace, how do you feel about Alan and Nolan having a little buddy cop adventure through space?
Dude, Alan and Nolan, the GOAT duo, come on. I mean, like, I sent this TikTok to Aaron today, so not to take credit for the idea, but it was another person watching Invincible talking about the show, and they were saying that every moment that Nolan is on screen is just, like, pure entertainment, because his character arc is so good, and he's so well-written, and I think it's, like, kind of true that, for lack of better terminology, he character mogs everyone else in the show, because he is, not to say that anyone else is like poorly written, you know, but he is written so like to a different degree than the other characters, because every time he's directly involved in what's going on screen or on the page, it's like, this is genuinely very interesting. I am enjoying every second of it.
I think it's because he's so well-rounded, you know? Like, he's got emotional depth to him. He also will punch the shit out of something. I mean, he's smart. He is trying to make up for what he's done. You know, the whole redemption arc. Everyone loves a redemption arc. I think every part of his character just works really, really well. And, you know, the summation of that is the most entertaining.
Yeah, I'm surprised with how much I've grown to like Alan the Alien. When they first introduced him, I was like, oh, great, Seth Rogen. I'm not a big Seth Rogen fan.
Yeah, but I was a little like, I'm not going to. What the fuck? That was kind of an uncanny impression. Holy shit. I can't
that
lie.
That was good.
No, when I originally heard Seth Rogen as his voice when I watched season one, because like back then I didn't like look into the cast before watching the show. I just watched the show. I was like, damn, low-key disappointing. Not any happier with it at this point in time, but you know, life is life and you get on with it. Yeah, when I read the comics, I didn't envision Seth Rogen for his character voice. I still think, don't love it, but, you know, I do like Alan as a character very much, so it's kind of like the balance to it.
Yeah, speaking of Alan, I have to get something off my chest.
I think I'm about to agree with you on this.
I think that all of the sex jokes that they've rammed into this season in... which have all essentially been the exact same joke retold 15 times, got old really fast.
Yeah, I think the first two times that they showed Nolan like clamping the pillow around his head was like, haha, funny. And then when it was like every 30 seconds, it was like, bro, come on. Ha ha ha, I'm 8 years old again, or whatever.
I'm 4 years old.
Also, I thought what was more annoying was the Debbie and Paul one.
I was including that in the hatred as well.
I know you were, but I think that one was even more egregious because it's like Debbie is like this character who's like so well written, always has great dialogue, and then it's like Oliver finds it funny. Oliver finds it fun like four times in a row, and it's like, shut up. You're pissing me off. You're actually pissing me the fuck off. This is like an enjoyable part of the series. Like, this is a very human part of the series where Debbie and Paul are like developing their relationship and discussing like where to go next with it. And it's like, Debbie's just like, don't worry about the sex part because Oliver thinks it's funny. The other thing that like low-key pissed me off and was like, this is just actually some weirdo is writing this part of the show because what the fuck? This part of the series was because when Oliver was like, don't worry, Mark, you and Eve are almost as loud or whatever, or some shit like that. I was like, what kind of, like,
yeah, that is such a weird
thing to be like, oh, this is going to be such a laugh. It's like, that is weird. Like,
yeah, I'm all for, like, being open and very, like, don't stigmatize, but also... you don't need to hear what's happening in the room next to you. Like, we don't need to all be aware of what everyone is doing at all times. We don't need... that's at least my thought on the subject. Which, speaking of Oliver...
how much Oliver does this job pay?
Well, yeah, how much does this job pay? But also, let the poor boy play his Game Boy. Let him play his Pokemon, man. Like, he needs a break sometimes.
Yeah, brain nourishment.
Exactly. I do. I feel really bad for him. He didn't want any of this.
Oh, okay, that's not true. He did want to run the fade with Conquest, and then it didn't go so well. But he was ready. He was hyped, even.
Richard, if you had to spend a week on board the Venture, would you feel safe?
No. Not with that captain.
You don't think he deserves like some sort of recognition, maybe a promotion?
I mean. No.
He got them from point A to point B.
That's his job. That's like, that's not even the bare minimum because he ran into an asteroid field the one time.
Ran into it or cleared the way?
Exactly.
You are not trying to get me to sympathize with that fucking guy, all right?
He just has such a jovial attitude. And when you come at life with an attitude like that, there's just no way that you can lose.
I will show you a jovial attitude. I'm going to be whimsical and joyous and happy for the rest of my life now, all right? And that guy couldn't even be as joyous as me.
Would you be joyous if everyone you've ever known died to the scourge virus?
I'd look on the bright side and say, you know what? I'm still alive. But I'd mourn everyone around me, because obviously that'd be horrifying.
I was a big fan of the Nolan flashback scene on Viltrum. I thought that was really cool. I thought it was really well done. I don't recall who played young Nolan, but it is someone who's fairly like well known in the acting and the voice acting world. So cool to see that.
Yeah. I also really liked, I think I mentioned it when we tried recording the last time, the visual of the Viltrumite corpses, the billions of them all floating out in space, was just insane. And then they have the ring around the planet. Like, what?
Yeah, was that not fire?
No, it was fire. Like, that's metal as fuck. But everything else around it was so well represented, like the scale of this genocide. Like, it is insane to see and tragic, even though they are horrible. Because they don't have to be. They could just be better and not evil.
Yeah, and I love the point that they make in these episodes where they tell Omni-Man, like, your people underwent the same thing that you guys did to pretty much everyone you ever came in contact with. And you could have taken that opportunity. Yeah, you could have taken that opportunity and, like, looked inward a little bit, thought about it. Been like, damn, that kind of sucks. But no, you were just like, well, there's only 50 of us left, so we better get to work. It's gonna be a lot harder now.
It's crazy to think too, also, because like before the scourge virus, they're probably sending like groups of Viltrumites to planets. Now it's like they send like one to each planet, you know? But imagine like the scale at which like 5 Viltrumites show up to the planet, like, you're done. I mean,
even 3 would be enough. We saw on Thraxa, those 3 were deadly as hell. They outclassed Alan, they did outclass Alan. And then also Mark.
No, they didn't.
Omni-Man.
Remember, Alan let them cook him.
But they beat him his ass first time.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, now he's big and buff. But, you're right. Like, seeing 5 Viltrumites destroy a planet, I'm assuming they're done in like 2 days, maybe.
I don't know if it would take them more than a day.
Yeah. I mean, they're insane.
Yeah. And we get a little bit of info that this virus was engineered by the Betrayer, aka Thetis. The whole Thetis Betrayer reveal, I didn't feel a whole lot from that. I think that was more for Nolan than it was for us as an audience, because the lore of the Betrayer really hasn't been a big thing in the series. It's kind of, they've hinted at it a few times. They've mentioned the Betrayer, but it wasn't anything crazy.
It's been a while since I read the comic, so I don't know if they're going to go into more detail about Thetis and Argal. Or like what happened, but in the comics they had like a little more detail about like how Thetis killed Argal. Right. If you guys are interested.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess, how they play it out. But the other thing I will say is that, like, on our side of things, I just kind of assumed Thetis was, because he already went against the Empire. And then I kind of figured that he also engineered the Scourge virus because he went against the Empire. You know, like, it, to me, it just all points back to this, or pointed back to the same guy before we got the reveal.
I was kind of surprised that he's the one who engineered the virus. I didn't think that it would have been something that was engineered. I thought that maybe it was just a freak natural event, but it was interesting to see that. I think it works a lot better as this engineered thing. And it gives Nolan a lot of reasons to hate Thetis, if he didn't already have a whole bunch before, which I hope they don't linger on that tension.
He got rid of his abusive parents.
That's true. Well, okay. I think that Nolan's father seemed to have just a sliver of empathy.
Bro.
He didn't kill
just
his son.
Just because he stopped his mom from murking him, doesn't bro was still putting belt to ass on his son, dude. Like
that's like the equivalent of a kiss on the cheek in Viltrumite society. It's just like an innocent, harmless little, you know, parent-child beatdown.
I mean, I guess. Sorry. I had one other thing about the Viltrumites that I wanted to discuss because it really is just so dumb. Mustaches being the way to like differentiate for the men, I guess, that they're a Viltrumite. Like what?
It's not actually.
I don't. They kept bringing it up like it was like the one
what do you
identifying
mean
kept trait.
Bringing it up. They brought it up once, dude.
They brought it up a few times, didn't they? Like
no,
the
they
beard
pole. Up-
The beard pull thing being what revealed
they brought
Anus.
Up the beard pull once.
No, and then there were like the guards outside the thing.
That's different. It's because the mustache is an all-encompassing like sign of because it's like Japanese warriors had like ponytails because they wouldn't cut their hair because it was like a like sign of your honor. In like Viltrumite tradition, they all had the mustaches because Argyll had the mustache.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So they're copying his drip.
Yeah, in honor of their dearly departed dictator.
Yeah.
Okay.
The beard pull isn't like, oh, it's easy for like Viltrumites to pull their beard off or
whatever. No, that's not what I meant. I meant like that being the differentiating factor just seemed kind of goofy.
Well, because it's just like every other race probably isn't rocking that style. Like every person in that race is not rocking that mustache, you know?
The Flaxons, much like the Sekwids, feel kind of off to me. It's one of those recurring plot lines that I don't really care about and that just keeps on coming back. Although I think this is only the second time we've seen the Flaxons, yeah. So it's not as egregious, but still... They're not characters. They're not real villains. They're just these mindless drones that show up and start putting people in chains. And yeah. They need to be stopped.
They will serve, I'm assuming, as like a good thing, though, for Monster Girl and Robot to become adults. Because it is a little weird that they're like children and they're doing all this. So I guess that's like the bright side. And then I guess Robot will discover some crazy tech, maybe.
Yeah, if Robot comes back and is halfway not as creepy as he is now, I'll jump for joy.
Yeah.
If you jump for joy, you have to record it and put it on the Patreon.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Why on the Patreon? Put it in the Discord for free.
I'll put it behind a $20 jumping for joy fee paywall.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You don't get to see me joyful for free. I'm a hater for free.
Yeah, we know.
This whole Monster Girl and Robot thing going missing. I'm a little bit sad that Monster Girl is gone. I like her a lot more than I like Rudy.
Really? I thought they were both kind of insufferable.
Really? I don't have a problem with Monster Girl. I think she's pretty all right.
You're not hating to your fullest potential, dude. What?
I don't know. I thought she was just like kind of a flat character and was like, oh, well.
Yeah, she hasn't really done a whole lot since Rudy figured out her power.
Her powers are cool, but like... She also just, like, does nothing. Like, whenever the Guardians are fighting, it's like, you'd think Monster Girl with, like, her super strength would be able to do more. Just, no.
Yeah, I just feel like everyone, or maybe not everyone, but most of the heroes that she's with also have super strength. So even then it's like, all right, we got one more person that can punch hard. Yay.
I don't appreciate that everyone's powers get like thrown out the window whenever it's convenient for the story. Like Alan and Nolan, when they were on the planet full of the Viltrumite eating dinosaurs or whatever they were, those two should have been able to fly off the planet in like 3 seconds.
No, it's because there's
more gravity.
But the gravity is higher.
I don't care. They should have been able to get out of there whether the gravity was higher or not, man.
I mean, like, I do agree with that. But I'm pretty sure the gravity is, like, hundreds of times, like...
They're still, though, like, two of the strongest beings that we've seen, you know, like the Ragnars, if they get reintroduced, if they become
the Ragnars are really strong. Like really strong.
They better fight like it, because if the gravity on the planet is that bad, then these things gotta be that strong, or what the heck? You know, like it needs to stay consistent.
Speaking of the Viltrumites, we didn't mention that the Grand Regent Thrag,
right? Yeah.
Thrag is his name. Yeah, Grand Regent Thrag. We finally saw a little bit more of him. We've had him teased a couple of times throughout the series, but we've never gotten like full on interactions with him. And he is voiced by Lee Pace, which is pretty cool. Another great celebrity addition to this cast.
I actually like his voice for him.
I do too. I think Lee Pace has a very regal voice. He's good at playing like rulers. He does a really good job in Foundation. He does a really good job in the Hobbit movies, for however you may or may not like those movies. I think that Lee Pace's performance is pretty good.
I think he does good as Durandaril.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Tolkien jar.
Fuck. I'll put another dollar in the Tolkien jar.
And then I get that all the dollars in the jar.
I don't know where that money goes.
Chase and I are splitting it.
I'm not splitting shit with you.
Oh, I can have it all? Okay.
All right. What were you saying, Aaron?
I was just saying that I'm excited to see more of him. He seems like a really interesting character. He seems like a good final villain of the series, maybe, or at least of the Viltrumite plot lines. I don't know how far this goes.
There's going to be a lot of seasons, I think. At least like three more.
Okay. So we've got a lot left.
They are going at a snail's pace, dude. Eight episodes a season is unacceptable for a long series. This is not a short series, please.
No. 8 episodes a season is just unacceptable. It's so awful. It's an awful.
It's awful. They have a terrible schedule too.
No, I'm saying in general, 8 episodes. Like, why does every show on every service have to be? Oh, we're making it 8 1-hour episodes. Yep, that's all we're gonna do. I remember when, back in my day, shows were 24 episodes, 30 minutes-ish an episode, maybe 45, and you watched your filler slop, all right? Yeah, and they only have 10 animators. I'm not saying, for the record, that it is on the animators.
I'm not an invincible, animation hater. I don't mind the art style, but there's no way it takes you a whole calendar year to make 8 episodes. I'm sorry, it's not real.
It does, but that's only because Amazon is like, all right, we're going to hire 10 animators and pay them like shit.
Yeah,
here we go.
True.
I am impressed that they got out this season almost exactly a year after the last one.
Yeah, didn't the last one have a freaking hella long hiatus?
Yeah, the last one.
Or no, the hiatus was season 2.
You're right. Season 2, where they released it in like 2 parts or something. I don't know. I'm just glad that they figured out how to get a full season of television out in a year.
Don't worry, there's only 8 episodes, but there's also ads.
Oh my god. Do you want a brisk iced tea?
Mark, they stole your colors.
You know, I thought it was, not to talk about the ads like they're a part of the show, but the brisk iced tea ad that they had, it made me laugh because Adam Eve's actress was like doing her part in it, and Mark had no lines because they couldn't afford Steven Yeun for the commercial.
I'm not gonna lie, guys. I don't have ads on mine because I upgraded the.
Oh my god!
All right, corpo rat, get out of my sight. Well,
he caved.
Technically, my mom's a corpo because I upgraded her. A subscription.
Why don't we talk about organized crime instead of corporations?
Yeah,
I hate
like
this
that.
Plot line, by the way.
You hate the Titan Mr. Liu machine head plot line.
I hate Mr. Liu.
Thank you. That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say Mr. Liu is so fucking boring.
Yeah.
Oh,
that old ass man should have been
strong guy who can't get beat up but is also not beating you up. oh my god, you're so fucking boring.
His little bodyguard is funny though.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, I'd rather watch the bodyguard do stuff than him. How do you make me not want to see a big dragon fight stuff?
Yeah, this is another one of the things where
big dragon all he does is body slam you, by the way. Like, what?
Yeah. And he doesn't even, like he doesn't do anything.
No fire breath,
cool,
no claw action. Like, what are we doing?
He might be a fraud.
He was still able to beat Oliver up pretty hard.
Bro, I could beat up a 2-year-old too, bro. Come on.
Yeah, like, Aaron, are you telling me you'd have trouble beating up a 2-year-old?
Morally.
I don't know if it's the morals that are the problem. I just haven't been hitting the gym very much.
Aaron versus a 2-year-old, who wins?
I really liked that little one-off like metalbender character that attacked Titan in the park. I thought he was pretty cool.
Dude, he was more interesting than Mr.
Yeah, dude. His powers are more fun than what if I became a dragon but did nothing dragon-like except for fly around. Like, they literally put, like, a parade fucking float skin on top of a Viltrumite. That's literally it, bro. Like, it's punch and kick, but he's wearing a different, like, a giant blow-up costume.
Both Titan and Liu seem like they got cooked kind of hard because they got forced back into the order by Machine Head and teleporting guy.
I think it's them just trying to put a bow on it and end that plot line.
Yeah, I think we'll see Titan again, but I don't think that we're going to get any more of like Mr. Liu and that plot.
What pisses you off more, Mr. Liu or the Sequids?
Honestly, for me, Mr. Liu, because I love dragons. How are you going to be a dragon and I'm not interested in anything you're doing?
I also hate Mr. Liu more.
No, there's just no way that the Sequids are more interesting than Mr. Liu. Mr. Liu is not great, but
I don't think they are more interesting, but they're less aggravating, dude. Because it's like Sequids are on my screen. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this to be over. Mr. Liu is on my screen. I'm like, oh, this is so fucking annoying. This motherfucker is so fucking boring.
Because he can't even be a dragon, right? It's not that hard. Wings, fire.
And the crazy part, too, is Mr. Liu is an actual person, but he also has no story.
Yeah, for real, this dude. Plus, like, the Sequids, the one thing I will say is that they're kind of like a unique take on a hive mind. Like, they have to have a human, like a sapient host to work, which I guess isn't that unique. But otherwise, you know, them being mindless without a host is the unique
and
part.
At least there's a way to defeat the Sequids. Mr. Liu's just like
old age.
Mr. Liu, like, they've never actually defeated him. They're like, oh, we killed him. Nope, he's actually alive still.
Speaking of the Sequids being easy to kill, I almost threw my computer across the room when Rudy coughed up a Sequid. I was like, there's no way we're doing this again. I can't fucking do it.
I'm glad we all thought that.
Maybe Mark was right. Yeah, Rudy, shut up, you fucking annoying motherfucker.
If they just deleted Rudy from the show, it would be probably 25 to 30% better.
Bring Rex back. Like, for real, he should be the one coming back constantly, not fucking Mr. Liu or the Sequids.
And with that, I would like to ask the question, does anyone have any final thoughts or plot points that we didn't bring up that we want to talk about before we start wrapping things up for the night?
No. I didn't even have any first thoughts, dude.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for the how we feel part.
All right. If you're so damn ready, why don't you start?
Okay. I think the pace for these three episodes has been really good. Unlike the previous season, it feels like the side stories and character development really is flowing with the show in a way that doesn't take you out of the main arcs. Going into Nolan's past and getting to see what happened to Viltrum was super cool. I don't know what to expect to see from Lee Pace, but so far I'm very happy. I do have to agree with Aaron. The first couple of times the sex jokes were pretty funny, but at some point it was just taking screen time I rather see being used on the actual story. Solid start to the season, and episodes were very entertaining. 8 out of 10.
Thank you. Richard, what do you got?
This was a pretty great start to the season for me. I'm glad that the conquest plot moved forward already. I was really hoping that we'd just get that so that we could see Thrag, we could see more of Viltrum, however, you know, whatever. But it's also good to see how Mark has developed in like the time skip, because, you know, it's been a couple months or whatever. I do agree with Aaron, though, about the side plots that he's gonna tell you about in a minute. And some of them really just need to be wrapped up soon. I think someone in the show actually said that we need to start dealing with these threats permanently. So maybe they will. But I'm excited for the rest of the season, and I got to give the episodes an 8 out of 10, just like Chase.
2 8 out of 10s. I feel like the lone wolf over here. Yeah, man, I thought this first batch of episodes were pretty fun. They threw us right back into the action, moved along a lot of the right major plot lines. The voice cast just continues to be one of the best parts of the series, I think, especially with the introduction of some folks like Lee Pace. I think that this cast has just always been stacked. I don't know how they can afford so much firepower, but I'm glad that they can. And even if it takes away from the animation a little bit, I'm okay with that. I do think that this show gets bogged down by rehashing old storylines from time to time. And the returning C-plots are definitely not equal. Some of them are way more interesting than others. But overall, I'm really happy with these episodes and can't wait to see where this season is going to land. So I would say it's a solid 7 out of 10 for these 3 episodes. And with that, I think that we are going to be wrapping up for today. Before we let you guys go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to all the other podcasts in the network. First, the ones who make this all possible, our parent podcast, The Lorehounds. They are currently doing some coverage of The Pit. Alicia just wrapped up a bunch of Oscars coverage with some guests, and that was really good. So make sure you go and check all of that out. Also in the network are some really excellent podcasts like We'll Shift Dust, the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, Rings and Rituals, Properly Howard Movie Review, The Severance Podcast, and Nevermind the Music. Links to all of those are also going to be in the description, as well as the info on how to get in touch with us. So with that being said, thank you all for joining us, and we are looking forward to seeing you all very soon for the next 2 episodes of Invincible.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.